If you have ever been to a Catholic wedding, our second reading today might sound kind of familiar. And for those of us who are a bit more cynical, perhaps we may even say it is cliché. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Okay, we get it. But I would like to put this reading, these words, in a different setting. And the setting comes from the 2018 film Paul, Apostle of Christ. And if you've seen this movie, you can probably think of the scene that I'm about to describe. But for the benefit of the rest of us, let me just explain. In this film, it takes place in Rome, and St. Paul, played by James Faulkner, is imprisoned. It takes place during the persecutions under Nero. Meanwhile, St. Luke, played by Jim Caviezel, sneaks into Rome at risk of his life to find out what is going on with the Christian community and to find out what has happened to his teacher, Paul. At a certain point in the film, the Christian community is about to reach a breaking point. In response to an act of violence against one of their most youngest and vulnerable members, young men from the group are ready to take up arms and to fight with violence. Luke half-heartedly is trying to dissuade them. And later on, we see Luke conversing with Paul in Paul's jail cell. And Luke is spiraling down into pessimism. He is baffled at what love can do, what the Christian way can do in the face of this setting, in this time filled with hatred. He describes how it is the circus of Nero, where Christians are being burned alive as human torches, where blood runs through the streets, widows and orphans go starving, and infants with the slightest defect are disposed and discarded. What can love do? And Paul, who throughout this film has been hunched over, his back wounded from multiple beatings and scourges, suddenly stands erect and rebukes Luke and delivers essentially a powerful paraphrase of his words from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, describing love and what it really is. Paul wrote those letters to the Corinthians in a time when the Corinthians were kind of fighting amongst themselves because they were striving after these spiritual gifts and these charisms and taking delight in that and comparing themselves against the others. And Paul spoke of love as a source of unity. But in this film scene, we can think of Paul calling to mind those words he gave to the Corinthians, sharing them once more to Luke, to say that love is not for the weak of heart. Love is a source of strength and perseverance in the face of the greatest persecution and hardship. To have that firmness of that pillar of iron, that wall of brass. In a word, love is strong. But to keep even this insight from becoming just another pious platitude, we must really understand what love is, because there are so many false ideas about it. If we think that love is a feeling, we will ultimately conclude that love is fickle, that it will come and go with our feelings and emotions. If we think of love as being in the domain of greeting cards and Hallmark movies, we will think of it as saccharine, fantastical, and having nothing to do with real life. If we equate love with passionate desire and longing, we reduce love to nothing more than another earthly hunger that does not connect us to the divine. In this letter, Paul uses many phrases to describe love, but I want to focus on just one phrase, one essential phrase, because I think that is necessary for us to grasp if we are to have a truly Christian understanding of love. Paul writes this: love does not seek its own interests. Love does not seek its own interests. This accords with the philosophical definition of love we've probably heard before, that love is willing the good of the other as other. Willing the good of the other as other. So that love is not about our interests, but the interests of those before us. Additionally, we hear in the spiritual tradition from multiple saints and spiritual authors that the love we are called to have as Christians is what they call disinterested love. Disinterested love. And that may seem kind of off-putting to us initially, because when we hear disinterested, we maybe think that, well, it's kind of aloof, uncaring, distant. But that's not what disinterested love is. To be disinterested in our love is to love someone without any interest in what we will get in return, without any ulterior motive. And this is perhaps harder to do than we may realize. Because sometimes the way we go about engaging in love may not be disinterested. For instance, we may love someone with the idea that if I do good things for this person, if I am loving to this person, that person will do good things to me in return. This person will love me in return. I will be affirmed and feel good about that because of my love for this person. But really, that's kind of love as a form of payment. If I love you, you should love me. Or maybe when we think about being in a situation with people that we find frankly disagreeable, we don't get along. Maybe we take the motto of kill them with kindness. Yes, I will be so kind and loving to this person. I will smother this person with my goodness so that they will just feel guilty and horrible about how bad they have been treating me. Because I will have the upper hand and they'll just be in the dirt. But that is nothing more than a form of manipulation. Love, true disinterested love, is not about needing another person so that we could use what they have. It's not about wanting another person for our own benefit. It is about gratuitously, generously choosing the other person and choosing their good because out of our goodness we want that for them. In doing this, we are emulating God Himself, who St. John tells us is love. Consider this. Before the creation of the world, before we were created ex nihilo, out of nothing, God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, existed perfectly content. God did not need to make anything. He did not need to create minions to scour the world and track down goats and sacrifice their blood so that he may have life. He did not need to have people to grovel at his feet so that his ego could be filled. God is perfect. He did not need anything. He did not need us. But in his generous goodness, in his love, he created us. And he created us not for futility, but for fulfillment with life in him. Such is true love. And that is our perennial task as Christians, to embody the love of God. So that as we grow in love, we grow more like God, and we grow more like who we are meant to be. This is central to the Christian life. And so as I conclude, I just want to share with you a thought exercise that I understand some of our men received when they were at the men's conference a couple weeks ago. To sometime later today, track down this reading from St. Paul, whether in your Magnificat or Daily Roman Missal, maybe just open your Bible itself to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read St. Paul's words on love. But when it speaks about love, put yourself into that spot. Insert your name and use that as a kind of examination of conscience. Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I not seeking my own interests? Am I enduring all things? And we can delight and rejoice in the ways that we are already emulating and mirroring God by being love to others. And when we encounter those areas in which we need more strength, in which our love is more selfish than generous, may we ask God's grace that we may be purified, so that we can be more and more transparent to the love of God, the love that is the foundation of the universe, the love that calls us to holiness and fullness that is strong and eternal.